We pray now for Pat, Lord, that he will bring out what the Holy Spirit is showing him. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make our hearts ready to receive, be open, and respond to you. So we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pat, would you like to preach blindfold just as a challenge?
I'll give it a go. Tim, did you just want to check on the Zoom? It's locked, but it should be all right. I feel a little bit naked. I haven't got my Bible with me. It's in my bag at the back. I haven't actually preached here for 19 months. I haven't actually been up the front here, so it's great. It's good to see everybody. I want to share a few things today, and then just allow us to respond to the Lord together. I think it's really important that as we're together, that we're responding to the Lord together and allowing him to work in our hearts. The subject that I want to talk about today is power. We watched, as a youth group, we watched episode one of The Chosen. And one of the things that really hit me was there were lots of religious people and there were lots of things going on. But only Jesus really had the power to change people's lives. And it struck me that we need to give him space to work in our lives. And we need to respond to him to allow him to do that. And I want us to do that together this morning. here we go. Now this was one of the lines from The Chosen that really sort of hit me. This is from Isaiah. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine." And I love that. I love that. It excites me to know that God is calling you this morning. He's calling me this morning. And he's calling you by your name. And he's saying, "You are mine. I want you." Isn't that wonderful? But I'm a mess. Why would he want me? But he wants you, even though you're a mess. Isn't that exciting? Let's go on to the next verse. "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned and the flames will not consume you." Amen. It's good to know the promises of God, isn't it? It's good to know what we stand on. If we come to Jesus and we put our trust in him, this is his promise for us. He's not going anywhere. Let's follow it a few verses down, and it said this: "From eternity to eternity, I am God, and no one can snatch anyone out of my hand, and no one can undo what I have done." Amen. We can get hold of that too. No one can snatch you out of his hand. That's a promise. However much you screw up, however much things go wrong, God is saying, "No one can snatch you out of my hand." And that's exciting to me. And there's something of the power of Jesus Christ that I don't think is available in any other person. You know, we can come up and we can do great speeches at the front and we can talk and it can all sound good. But I love this. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Is there power in your life? Do you need power in your life? I do. And I want to encourage you that Jesus is that power. There's something in him which rules over all. And there's something in him that is saying, "I want you. And I don't know, I might just ramble on this morning, but hopefully the Lord speaks to you. He's got power to change things. He's got power to change things. You ever been just feeling like I'm just stuck in this loop? My life just keeps going round in this loop and I just need to break free of it, but I can't. Whatever happens, I just go back in the same loop. God, He's got the power to change things through Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep going round that loop of brokenness, of broken relationships, of failure. You don't have to. I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, you can live different. You can have power in your life. He's got power to set you free. Those things that have been holding you down for so long, He can set you free from those things. Isn't that exciting? He can set you free from that thought that says you're never going to do anything good and you're going to go back to what you were before. He can set you free from that. And you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me with all His power. But it's more than that. I think sometimes we can be Christians and know God and live powerless lives, feeling like everything's just happening and we're just picking up pieces. And it sounds like this. I just feel so tired. I just feel so tired. And it's not even a physical tiredness. It's a tiredness that says, I just can't keep going anymore in this same loop. It's got power to put joy in your heart. It's got power to put belief in you that says, yes, it's exciting. Today's exciting. Today's not just another day. And I want to tell you that He's put that in me. He's put His joy in me. And I love it. And I'm excited about what tomorrow brings. Because I know that He's got power. Power to see people healed. Do we believe that? I believe that, you know. And I've seen, do you know what? I've seen loads of people get prayed for and not get healed. And that's okay. But we're going to keep praying because sometimes I've prayed for people and they have got healed. Amen? And we're going to keep praying for those times and see what the Lord can do. How about this? You know, sometimes I feel like, do you know what? I can do most of life on my own. I'm pretty strong. I'm pretty tough. I can sort things. But how about this? Power to keep going. When everybody's pushing your buttons, when you're at home. Power to be the peacemaker when everybody's kicking off in your house. How about this? Power to let it go. Those things that people have done to you and you know that it wasn't right. Power to let them go, to let it go. Power to forgive. He's got it all. And I hope there's something building in you that says, I need this power and I haven't got it. Because that's a great place to come to. In fact, it's the only place I've realised that you can come to. So we're going to get into the Word a little bit now and just see that we're going to go into Matthew and look at a story of Jesus. So this is Matthew 20. As Jesus and His disciples were leaving for Jericho, a large crowd followed Him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and He called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and He touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed Him. And you know, to me, I love this. These two men, They knew they were broken. They knew they were broken. They knew they couldn't see. And they knew that there wasn't really a way forward for them at all. There was no way forward. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. And then they heard about this man, Jesus. And do you know what? When they heard he was around, they heard he was coming, they didn't just sit there and say, oh, if he comes to me, then I'll receive him. They didn't say, you know, this is the wonderful thing. They knew they weren't good enough. In fact, it says everybody was telling them, you are not good enough. Shut up. They rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they persisted in coming to the Lord. I mean, they were blind men on the side of the road. And I just love this story because it just, I don't know. It just speaks of how we've got to come to Jesus, knowing we're broken. Not, I can do most of it myself. Jesus, I want you to help me out of a little bit, so I want to come to you on a level peg with all my pride intact. You can't come to Jesus like that. You've got to come saying, Lord, I need something from you. I need something from you. I've been a Christian 50 years. I need something from you. That's the only way you can really come before him. And to me, it's exciting. Oh, don't know why I'm going here. What? Joel? If you just click on it, and then I should be able to click. Just click anywhere. Just click once. Just run out of batteries, maybe. It's all right. We'll let them fiddle around with that for a second. There's a verse, James 4:6, and it says, God resists the proud. And I can't remember the next bit. He gives grace to the humble. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Hannah. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Isn't that exciting? There's something about the way we've got to come to Christ. I'm going to tell a story now. I realise that this is way too long to read. Some Pharisees in the time of Jesus. There were some Pharisees, a man named Simon, and they invited Jesus to their house so they could talk with him. And I think what they understood was, we are religious and we have the word, but Jesus has the power. And we need to find out what this guy's got that we haven't got. And so they invited him over so they could question him. And they were clothed in, you know, what the Pharisees would wear. You know, that, like the robes. And they looked the part. And they spoke the right lingo, the religious lingo. And they sat and they questioned with Jesus. And in those days, the houses would reasonably open. You could walk in. And this woman, doesn't say what her name is, she walked in. She slipped in the back. Because she knew that she needed Jesus. She needed him. She wasn't worth much in her own eyes, but she was hoping that Jesus would see her. And she sneaks into this dinner, essentially, where people are reclining, and she sneaks in and she falls before Jesus' feet and she's crying her eyes out. Sorry. And she gets down to Jesus' feet and she gets her tears all over his feet. And then she wipes it off with her hair. With her hair, she wipes it off. She's come to Jesus in front of everybody. And everybody was looking at her like she was nothing. Why are you here? You weren't invited here. You're not welcome here. You're a sinner. And they said to her, they said behind closed doors in their own hearts, they said, she's not good enough. If Jesus was a real prophet, he would know that she wasn't good enough. And you know when you know you're not good enough, and people aren't saying you're not good enough, but you know they're thinking it because of the way they're looking. And I'm sure she felt that everyone was staring at her, but she didn't care. She didn't care. She just had to get to Jesus because he was the only hope she had. And what I love about this story is Jesus says to Simon, he says, Simon, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet. She washed my feet. You didn't offer me anything. She's offered me everything she's got. She's poured out her life savings perfume on my feet. And then he says to her, he says, what does he say? Amen. So she loved much. And then he says something a couple of lines after, doesn't he? Amen. And this is wonderful. And the thing that I got out of this is she came to Jesus on her knees and said, Jesus, I need you. And he washed her clean. Amen. He wiped out the whole of the past. He wiped it out. And he set her on a new path. And she had a new life. And there was power for her. And her life was changed where there was no hope for her in society. And Simon, he kept his pride intact, didn't he? But he didn't get a new life. He didn't get his sins washed. Sometimes we can look like we're doing it right. We can look like we've got the right clothes. Keep our pride intact. And my prayer, my hope for us this morning is that we aren't the ones who say, I'll keep my pride intact and I'll walk away with nothing. I'm telling you, there's power this morning in Jesus Christ to set you free. I'll go for one more story. might have this one. Let's see, does the clicker work? Next one. There we go. This wonderful, it was not wonderful, it was probably pretty painful and disgusting, but this scene of Christ on the cross, one man on each side of him, two criminals. So Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for you and me, and a criminal on each side. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And when I see this scene, it makes me look at myself. And it makes me realise we're all criminals. Is that right? None of us are like that line there. He's done nothing wrong. We're all criminals. All we've got to decide is, which criminal are we? The one on the left or the one on the right? Look at him. He's dying on the cross next to Jesus, and he knows he's messed it all up. Still trying to hang on to his pride. Trying to blame other people. Trying to look good. Trying to hurling insults. And some of us will keep going all the way to the end till we're dead. Hanging on to our pride. We can humble ourselves. And those men they were in that position, they were forced to be humble, weren't they? They were naked and dying. They were forced to be humble, but that won't help some people. And I think there's a choice we've got to make. God has got so much for you. He's got power to change your life. And it's on offer this morning. And all you've got to decide is, will I humble myself? Will I, like that woman, will I just come and step forward and say, Lord, I need you. Again, I just want to read some of those things that the Lord wants to do in our hearts this morning. Look at some of those stories, and it looks like it's all over. For those blind men, it was all over. For the woman who wasn't accepted by anybody, she'd messed up bad, and there was no way back. For the man on the cross who was 10 minutes from death, it looks like it's all over. And I just want to encourage you that if you invite Jesus, it's not over. It's not done yet. It's not finished. You're not finished. Isn't that exciting? There's more for you. There's a tomorrow for you. There's more that God's got for you. You know, he wants to set you free. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. But God wants to give you power to have joy in your heart when you wake up, and be joy to your family when it's tough. He wants to give you power to be the peacemaker. It's got power to set you free from everything that's gone on, and that you're living under, knowing you're guilty, knowing that there isn't really a way forward. He's got power. He's got a way forward. I want us to have an opportunity to humble ourselves. Amen. If you want Jesus to do something for you, I'm going to encourage you to come out and be prayed for. You know, sometimes it's a bit daunting to come out. But if you want Jesus to do something, you come out and be prayed for. Ask a few. Tim, do you want to come up? David, do you want to come up and pray for people? Is that okay? And we're going to, I'm going to pray, and the music team will play, and we'll worship together. We'll play a few songs. And if you want to be prayed for this morning, you want God to do something for you, you know there's a power that you lack in your life, come up. And we'll pray, and we'll see the Lord do something. Amen? Amen. Right. Ruth, do you want to come up as well? Come up and pray for people. All right, I'll pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you already know the mess. Lord, and although we might look like everything's all right, we've got the right clothes on. Lord, you know all that's going on, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you say that you've chosen us and called us by name, and you want us, and you want to impart your power into our lives. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, Lord, and we want to respond to you, Lord, in humility this morning. Amen. If you want to be prayed for, if you come out and we'll pray for you.